Good afternoon. You're here with Bike Sport Radio on killradio.org. It's Monday, February 28th, 12 noon. And Bike Sport Radio is all about the sport of competitive cycling, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. We've got some race results coming up from Calville Stage Race, held out in Lake Mead. Also just in the Peninsula Cliff Climb time trial results. Let's go to those now. And setting a new record, I think, on the course was Nate Whitman with a 21:17, riding for the Now MS Society in the men's category fours, picking up that win. Junior men's 15-16, Stephen Israel picking up that win there with a 24:25. And in the category threes, Zach Crow picking up that win with 22:44. That was the Riders 1 Peninsula Cliff Climb. All right, who's burning down now out there? That was the L.A. Fire Department going by right here at our studio, overlooking the snow in Southern California. So Masters 35-plus winner from Ironfly, Kevin Phillips, with a 21:28. And we got more race results now coming at you.
From Pine Flats, Northern California, on February 20th. Pine Flat Road Race, men's pro category ones and twos, making the podium Vince Owens in third place, Justin Rossi in second, and your winner riding for California Giant Berry Farm Specialized, John Bennett. In the women's, category four, picking up third place, Dolce Vita Cycling's Elise Hazelwood. Second place going to Corina Huzar. And your winner riding for Young's Commercial Trans, Yokel Ranch, Sarah Smith. Men's category threes, taking the win there, riding for Whole Athlete Specialized, Nicholas Newcomb. Men's category fours, rounding out the podium was Alex Lugosh in third, Nima Asimi in second from Sierra Pacific Racing, and your winner with Stevens Bicycle Racing, Jeremiah Root. Beginner men's category fives, picking up the win from Davis Bike Club Race Team was Christopher Harland Dunaway. In the Masters 35, Cat 1, 2s, and 3s. Third place going to Riddy Racing's Alan Zarembo. And it was a Safeway Pure Red Creative Bicycle Plus sweep for first and second. Second going to Dan Martin, and your winner, Jonathan Eropkin. Women's pros race results. Tracy Lillig picking up third from Contra Costa Cycling Club. Second place going to U.S. Military Cycling's Peggy Lee Grand. And your winner, running for Fremont Bank Cycling Team, Susanna Breen. Men's juniors, ages 10 through 18, taking third place from Santa Cruz, Gabe Moulter. Second place going to Miguel Pina. And your winner, riding for Stevens Bicycle Racing, Ryan Brooks. And in the Masters 45s, taking a podium position from Southern California, Big Orange's Mike Calusa. Second place going to Echelon Gran Fondo's Hunter Zissing. And your winner from San Jose Bike Club, Daryl Spano. Masters 55s, third place going to Davis Bike Club's Roland Frund. Second place, Voss Racing, Scott Hennessy. And your winner, Team Bicycles Plus, Mark Hamlin. And that was the Pine Flat Road Race, held in Northern Cal on February 20th. More race results. We've got the Dinuba Criterium held in Northern Cal also, promoted by the Golden Chain Cyclists.
All right, stand by for race results coming up shortly. We're still trying to get Kit Carson from the Kit Carson Foundation to our studio. He's out there somewhere, Kit, so we'll just have to be patient for him, and hopefully we won't run out of things to say until he gets here. The Kit Carson Foundation, that's our feature guest today, and he'll be coming in shortly. Back to more Bike Sport Radio. We had a chance to talk to the cowbell people that make these cowbells, which are really cool. You hear them at the races all the time. And check out what we had at Interbike last year. We had a chance to talk to the cowbell people.
We are here at Interbike on Bike Sport Radio at cowbell.com, and I'm here with
Bessie.
Bessie from Cowbell. So tell us about cowbells and why you need them for bike racing or for bike racers, or what you need to race bikes.
Well, I'm the official spokesbovine for cowbell.com, and what we do is create fun at events with cowbells. And you use them to cheer on the racers and let them know that you support them. They're a way for you to communicate with the racers. It makes them go faster, too. So if you go, whoo, the racers go really, really, really fast.
And the spectators, too, perhaps, huh?
Well, the spectators have fun doing it because it makes them participate in the event.
And I see different colors of bells and everything. You custom print for promoters,
for sure,
sponsors?
For sure. We have 20 different colors of cowbells, and they're all at cowbell.com.
There's a purple.
That purple one don't always work so well.
Red. And I know you can't hear this on the radio, but this one's red. How
this
cool
one's
is that?
Gray.
All right, gray. And there's all
this one's red.
Okay, I think we got the point.
This one is from the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
This is from the Vancouver
The Olympic
Olympics.
Rings.
Yeah, we did bells for the Vancouver, Salt Lake,
nice.
Torino, Lillehammer.
Nice, very nice. So it's all about the cowbell. It's all about the sounds of bike racing.
Goofy right.
Cows.
Woo!
And these can be printed too, custom printed?
Yes, we do custom imprinted cowbells. They make great trophies. We did the trophies last night at the Las Vegas, and we're going to be handing out trophies tonight too.
At the pro race, that's right. I'll be there.
Okay, well, you'll see us presenting.
And how do we find out more about Cowbell?
You can go to cowbell.com.
That's easy.
It's a ring. Anytime.
All right. I'm Brad House of Bike Sport Radio. Thank you, Bessie.
Ciao.
Okay, cowbells, cool. So we just got these race results in for Calville Bay. Let's go over some of that now. Calville Bay Classic Stage Race, held in horrendous conditions of rain and freezing cold out there. But we race rain or shine. It's all about toughness out there in bike racing. So GC overall in the category men's pros, making the podium in third place, Ricky Escuela. Riding for Full Circle Sports. Second place going to Luis Amaran, riding for Jameis Sutter Home Pro Cycling. And from Team Exergy, Carlos Alzat picked up that win with a total time of 6:40.13. Women's pros, category 1, 2, 3s. Third place, making the podium, Emily Kachorek, riding for Primal Map My Ride. And in second place, riding for Trisport Cycling Eclipse Racing, Ashley Koch. And your winner, right here from Southern California, SC Velos and Power Coaching's Katie Donovan. The women's pro, that's at the Calville Bay Classic. And the Masters 35s, a very, very tight finish up there as well for the top three. Jonathan Edwards taking third, riding for Barry Lasco, DDS, Paul Tracy. Second place going to Stephen Ferretti, Allegiant Airlines. And your winner in the Masters 35, riding for Platinum Performance, Gary Duville. Gary Duville. And in the Masters 45 plus at the Calville Bay Classic, going down to five places there. California Pools DeWaltz, Dave Gagner taking fifth place. Fourth place going to Echelon Grand Fondo, Team Z's Dirk Himley. Second place, Big Orange Synergy Cycles, David Worthington. Second place, just by 3 seconds, Big Orange Synergy Cycles, Greg Liebert, and your winner, Breakaway from Cancer's Roger Worthington, and a very, very tight finish there. There's 3 seconds, a 3-second gap. Unbelievably close. All right, we've got Auburn Bike Works putting on an event coming up on March 13th, and that's the Cool Mountain Bike Race in Northern California, cross-country mountain bike racing for all categories, sport experts, single speeders as well, the Cool Mountain Bike Race. Register online at bikereg.com for the Cool Mountain Bike Race. And you can find out details at auburnbikeworks.com on that event. And still waiting for Kit Carson, our in-studio guest, to come in to talk about the Kit Carson Foundation. He's done a lot of track racing, so we're going to advertise some track events coming up. The Lavra Cup, that's the L.A. Velodrome Racing Association at the Home Depot Center in Carson, has a race series going on at that track coming up on March 5th. March 5th, that's the LAVelodrome.org for details on that. And that's at the Home Depot Center in Carson, California. And in Northern California, get ready for summer at the Hellyer Park Velodrome, March 12th. The Hellyer Park Velodrome opens up and track racing up there as well in the afternoon. Montano, Velo, Kieran, missing outs, points races, the Testarossa Scratch Race, and also snowballs for Category 4s and 5s, snowball racing. That's at the Hellyer Park Velodrome in San Jose. Snowball racing, what's snowball racing? We'll have to ask Kit when he gets here. I think that's like a points race, and I think the points value gets higher and higher each lap or something like that. So snowball racing. The Hellyer Park Velodrome, details on that can be found at ridethetrack.com. Ridethetrack.com. For details on that, and results are posted at HellyerRacing.blogspot.com, the Hellyer Park Velodrome. Two velodromes, one in Southern Cal and one in Northern Cal, with race series going on right now. Okay, we got some more race results for you. Let's go to those now.
From Southern California, the Imperial Classic Bike Race, a Criterium held in the Imperial Valley on February 19th. Men's pros and category 1s and 2s rounding out the podium. Third place going to Iggy Silva. Second place, Michael Larson. And your winner, Craig Turner, riding for Team Redlands. Men's Category 3s at the Imperial Classic. Brian Zink taking the win for Aqua Aldui, San Diego Bike Club. Category 4 men, Aqua Aldui also taking the win there with Michael Killeron. Junior men's 10 through 12, Massimo Lucidi, ready for Show Air Rock and Road, was your winner there. And the junior men's 13 and 14, Anand Hildebrand, running for SC Velo, picked up that win. Junior men's 15-16. Team Redlands' Kyle Zarbo took that win. And in the junior men 17-18, Christopher Wyman was your winner. Junior women's 10 through 14, Strive Racing's Mariah Swan picked up that win. And in the Category 3 and 4 women, rounding out the podium, third place going to Catalyst Racing's Julie Barr. Strive Racing's Hannah Swan taking second, and your winner, also for Catalyst Racing, Amy Firth. The Masters 35s, California Pools DeWalt's Rob Campilla picking up that win. Masters 45s, that win going to Pinnacle Life Racing Team's David Prechtel. And in the Masters 55, Swami's Michael Burdett picked up that win. Masters 60s, Paramount Racing's Leo Pettis picking up that win. All right, Northern Cal's cross-country mountain biking taking place at Fort Ord on February 13th. Pros and semi-pros rounding out the podium in third place, riding for Summit Bicycles, Jim Hewitt. Second place going to Jeremiah Root, riding for Stevens Bicycle Racing, and Voss Racing's Brian Duke picking up that win. Pro expert single speeders, Cesar Chavez, riding for Bicel.com, took that win. Expert men's 18 and under, Jacob Albrecht was your winner there. Expert men's 35 to 44, Alexander Rausch, riding for Jocelyn's. taking that win. Expert men's 45-54. Monterey Bay Racing Team's Eric Squires picking up that win. And in the pro and expert women, Courtney Dimple taking third place for Bike Station Aptos. Second place going to BuySell.com's Sophia Gomez Villafane. And your winner, Bike Station Aptos' Devin Gorey. That was the Central Coast Cross Country Mountain Biking taking place on February 13th. Southridge USA Mountain Bike Racing going on. The downhill results. None other than Eric Carter in the Pro Men taking that win, followed by Waylon Smith in second place. Pro Vets, Joel Picciottino picking up that win. Pro Women, Nova Hairston took the win. And in the Expert Men 18 and under, Connor Reddington taking that win. That's the downhill at Southridge. This took place on February 19th in Southridge, Fontana. Four cross results. Eric Carter taking that win. In the Sport Men, Robert Spaniard taking the win there. And in the Beginner Men, Tom McCormick picked up that win. Open Women's category, Robin Vold took the win. Super D Racing, Pro Men. Once again, Eric Carter over John Buckle. Carter in first, Buckle in second, and a Joe Lawwill coming in third place. Beginner Men, Eric Lundgren taking that win. And in the Expert Men, Cody Phillips picking up the win there. Cross Country, Justin Mann picking up that win in the Pro Men's. Expert Men 19 through 26 going to Scott Moore. Vet Pro winner Derek Herman picking up that win. In the Expert Men's 35-42, first place going to Ken Gaioli. Expert Men's 51-58, Dean Swank taking that win. Sport Women under 34, Liz Miller picking up the win. And Sport Women's 35 plus, Veronica Eliasson taking second. Sport Women, third place going to Shiloh Hawker. Juniors, Beginner Men, 13 through 15. Brian Messnervan taking that win. And in the Over 200 Club, Andrew Hart picking up the win there. In first place. Again, that was the Southridge USA race results. Complete results at southridgeusa.com. And complete results for the Imperial Classic can be found at scnca.org. And for more details on the cross-country mountain biking in Monterey, visit cccxcycling.com.
All right, race results complete now, and we are at that spot where we go to our special guest today. We've got our guest in the studio from the Kit Carson Foundation, Kit Carson himself, and check your mic out there.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, good to hear you here.
In the heart of downtown Los Angeles, Kill Radio at its best.
Right on. So we've got... you're from track racing mostly, or?
Yeah, I started track racing about 7 years ago, and I think it's kind of funny because most kids kind of start in the roadside and then maybe go to the track, but I started in the track and started going in.
Were you involved with any of that, like the AAF? There was an AAF program or something that was?
Yes, the Encino Velodrome Youth Program. I think they're sponsored by that, and so that's how we kind of came about with all of this.
Okay, yeah, that's a good program. Great. So you decided to create this foundation called the Kit Carson Foundation, but a little bit more about you before we get into that real quick on your credentials and stuff. You've won nationals and stuff and your racing career and stuff and how you're how old are you now?
19.
19, okay.
Last so year as a 19-year-old.
Last year as a teenager.
Last year as a teenager.
All right. And your racing career, what's your highlights of your racing career so far? The best?
Being able to go to the Junior World Championships 2 times was really great. Winning a couple national titles and, you know, just, I don't know, having fun in the sport.
Nice. Very nice. All right. So we put it out there to the electronic world.
Oh, boy.
We're going to have some questions.
Oh, boy.
And, the phone will start ringing off the hook any minute now, hopefully. But we've got a few written questions that were submitted by email. There's a gentleman named Gregory from Berlin, and he wants to know, why did you start your foundation? So tell us why you started your foundation.
I started my foundation when I was 8 years old. I was diagnosed with this thing called ADHD, which stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And after years of trials and ups and downs with ADHD medication, I finally started off the medication and used cycling as an alternative that my dad introduced me to. And finally, after a couple years of that, we went on to have fun with some bike races, and now we are here where we are. And it kind of came down to me talking to a lot of kids and hearing their horror stories of their trials with ADHD. So this really is kind of here to create outlets through cycling as an alternative to just medication.
All right. And we'll get into a little more details on ADHD in a few minutes here. Right now we got a caller calling in from the South Bay. We're going to have a report on the Calville Classic, kind of like a little impromptu report here real quick. So, hey, Greg, what's happening?
You are on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Brad? I'm doing well.
So tell us about Calville a little bit and the neat stuff going on out there this weekend.
Well, it was a little chilly, a little rainy, but overall, a really fun race. This is the third year that we've gone down there for the race. It is outside of Las Vegas, about 30 minutes. It's at Lake Mead, and most of the last 2 years we've stayed on houseboats that they have there, and that is a blast. It's a little like a team training camp because your guys are a lot closer proximity to each other instead of like staying at a hotel.
Right.
You know, when somebody shuts the door at a hotel, you don't see in there. But in the boats, like the windows are pretty much open, and you walk down a dock and you see guys from other teams, and you can sit down and drink a beer with them, or just, I don't know, it's a lot different than your usual traveling race. So in that regard, it's a lot more fun.
You can really upset the boat. Like if you got insomnia too the night before an important race, you can go down and rock your neighbor's, your team's competitor's boat, and they'll go, oh, what's going on here?
That's actually pretty funny. Yeah. The UBS team, which formerly Amgen, UBS, it's Breakaway from Cancer now. They're our main competitor. But they kept blaming us for all the problems they were having on the boat. They kept saying that we were coming over in the middle of the night and wrecking their boat.
Yeah, right. So so there's a time trial, road race, and crit.
Right.
And the Masters 45, Big Orange Cycling, which you guys are of, Big Orange Cycling, Synergy Cycling.
Right.
And how'd you guys do?
We did pretty well. Now, last year, we got first and second, and then like fifth, sixth, and eighth. I mean, we really loaded the top 10 on the podium there, which was really cool. But I think even this year, there was a little more competition, and we got scooted back. So we ended up second and third. So we missed the top step of the podium. Roger Worthington from the UBS Amgen team ended up winning. He was 3 seconds ahead of me.
Woohoo! Oh, what a margin. Wow.
Yeah.
And which was the worst day weather-wise, by the way?
It's a tough one.
The weather was bad every day?
Friday was actually perfect. And by perfect, I mean there was almost like a 30-mile-per-hour tailwind on this, 3.2-mile hill climb. So we were going, goodness, I mean, 30, sometimes 30 miles an hour going up the hill,
uphill.
Which was really cool.
Unbelievable.
You know, anytime you can go uphill that fast, it makes you feel really fast, even if you're not. So that was fun, and it was perfect. You know, it was fairly warm. I'd say, you know, 60 degrees, and then we just had this tailwind. The only thing that was scary was actually coming back down the hill. It was so windy. You know, everybody's got their disc wheels on.
Pedal downhill.
Oh, yeah, you did, honestly. And then there were, there was one spot that I actually got off my bike and walked.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, it was really, really something else. So anyway, Saturday started out rainy. It cleared up a little bit. Sun came out, then it got rainy again. So I really don't think it was a huge factor. It wasn't like Devil's Punch Bowl last weekend where it snowed on us for 2 hours. that was really nasty.
Yeah. Or the double century I did out in the San Diego Canyon. I got pelted with sideways blowing hailstones for about 10 minutes.
That yeah, that's no good.
While you guys were getting snowed on, I was getting pelted with hailstones. So.
That will clog your derailleur.
Right on. Well, good job with the race. Anything else you want to add? And
I think that is it. I'm hoping that losing that top spot on the podium motivates us so we really destroy San Dimas. So,
yeah, San Dimas coming up.
We're really right. Pointing to that one.
Make it less of a target for next year at Calville, too. So,
that's true.
All right. Go Big Orange. Congratulations. Happy birthday to Maggie, too. So.
Oh, thanks, Brad.
All right. Thanks for calling. Right.
Okay. Bye now.
Let's see.
All right. That was Greg Liebert. Greg Liebert of Big Orange Cycling reporting on the Calville Bay Classic stage race out there. Gnarly course. I sat that one out this time. Okay, so Kit, we were talking about ADHD and the
yes,
foundation.
Sir.
You started your foundation.
Yep.
Got another question here from Sasha, Louisville, Kentucky. He says, my 9-year-old son was recently diagnosed with ADHD, and we're starting to take him to therapists. He's not medicated yet. Any advice for us? And I know you're not going to be practicing medicine without a license here, but
yes, yes.
What do you suggest?
My first, I think, just one ADHD-diagnosed kid to another is the first thing, especially for parents, is to take your kid and, you know, really, it's going to be a long and hard and tiring process, but you have to find something that really disengages them. And you know, ADHD is pretty, it's easy to diagnose in that you go and you directly go to medication to help control whether you're trying to calm down the hyperactivity or focus more on the attention aspect. But you know, you take a kid with ADHD who's having difficulties in school and you put them in something, whether it be athletics or theatrical or the entertainments or the arts or something like that, and you know, something really special happens. And I think first thing is, you know, really just go and try to find something that they enjoy doing, and hopefully the more sun the better, I guess you could say.
Okay, that goes out to Sasha from Louisville, Kentucky. I understand, according to Rob at Grand Rapids, Michigan, says you have energy bars coming out. When are your energy bars coming out?
Yeah, Phil Kogan, who's the hosts the Amazing Race, has a energy bar called Now Energy Bars, and they're fantastic and in stores all over the U.S., and we have a wrapper, I guess, that's going to be coming out in late March is when they go into production, so it's a true honor to be able to do that, but it's also going to bring in a new flavor, which is honeycomb with chia seeds and raisin. And so,
what kind of seeds?
Chia seeds.
Chia.
I know it's not like it's not an everyday. It's not like watermelon seeds or apple seeds,
okay.
But it's good. It's got like superfood stuff in it. So hey,
that sounds good. I look forward to trying one of those at a race. Try one of those at a race near you and have your nice logo on it, the Kit Carson Foundation logo and everything. Cool. And you have to have a number of sponsors, I'm sure. So how do you get so many sponsors? This is a question from Martin at Salinas. How do you get so many sponsors?
You know, when I didn't come from a family where growing up we could go into a bike shop and just be able to throw down, I guess. So it was almost a necessity in trying to find support, whether it be product or team or that kind of stuff. So I really just had to set out and find help for what I had going on. And it, you know, when it comes to sponsors, the best piece of advice, and it sounds kind of weird at first, but you got to just think of it as if you're trying to get a girlfriend. And, you know, you got to come in sounding a little sane and you know, make it easy and don't ask too much too soon. And, you know, everything kind of works out. And the longer the relationship, the better things will happen. And, you know, pretty
right.
much shit.
Like a relationship.
Yeah. All of my sponsors are purely based off of years of relationships. And
you know, generate an atmosphere of trust.
Exactly.
And build on that, huh?
Yeah. And then I usually once a year take them all to Vegas and propose to them. And if that doesn't work, then, you know, at least we have what we have.
Right. Very good. Proposing to your sponsors. Speaking of proposers, Emily in Carson City, Nevada, she says, do you have a girlfriend? Are you looking?
No, I don't have a girlfriend. I kind of keep my eyes out every once in a while, but, you know, the schedule kind of is all over the place all the time, so, but girls are nice, that's for sure.
Yeah, Chris from Miami, Florida, she says, how have you been able to juggle so much at such a young age?
Wow. You know, I think I'd be lying to anybody to say that what I have going on here kind of just comes from me doing stuff by myself. There's so much support and such a huge team of people and mentors and coaches, and that if they were not here, I wouldn't be where I am. So, you know, it definitely, I don't think it's necessarily as much as me as being able to go out and reach out to people and ask for help. And, you know, you build up a base of a foundation for your program or sponsors or PR and stuff. And it kind of just kind of goes from there. And I'm very blessed to have the people in my circle that I do. And, you know, I take it all as a true blessing. And I'm very, very grateful and humbled to be able to now even give back to kids with ADHD. And, you know, it's time to just have fun. And that's pretty much where we're at.
I have questions, I guess. One question, I guess a little more detail on the foundation itself. How does that work? What do we do to support the foundation and things like that? And how does the foundation set up? There's a website, I assume. You want to tell us about that and how it's...
Well, when it came to the Kit Carson Foundation, what we set out to do is our one goal is to create active outlets for kids and teens with ADHD. Use cycling, which is what my background is, as an alternative instead of just directly going to medication. So our active outlets are through pre-established youth cycling programs. And what we did is we recently partnered with Specialized Bicycles, who is a great company based out of Northern California. You may have heard of them, not sure. But they have teamed up, and we recently just donated 10 brand new Specialized track bikes to the Encino Velodrome Youth Program, which is where I started in this sport. And so what we set out is to use these cycling youth programs almost as our own. And so we take kids through schools and social networking and the internet and referrals, and we bring them into these cycling programs. And, you know, it's so many people think that it's you have to make some complicated program into curing something like ADHD, whereas, you know, the simple act of pedaling my bike was what kind of treated me. So that's what we do. And you come in and ride your bike and work with the trainers and coaches. And we have resources online as well for people to talk to our medical professionals to help ask any medication advice. And now we just recently launched a success stories program where we have actual professional cyclists who also have ADHD. And they are able to kind of act as ambassadors for the program. Everybody from Lawson Craddock to Danny Summerhill to Adam Leibovitz. And, you know, these are some really great guys, and I'm stoked to have them on board as well.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. We got a caller on the line, Cool Ass Mike.
Cool Ass Mike.
And hold on a second. Let's get you to talk to him. He wants to ask Kid a few questions.
Is this Michael Bowers?
Hello, can you guys hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Hey, Kid, how's it going?
How's it going, dude?
Man, everything is awesome. I just saw that you were on the show today. I wanted to talk to you about the bike that you had given away at the Encino Velodrome. We were out there last week,
oh,
and
yeah.
They were telling us that they received them and things are going well.
Yep. Perfect.
Do you have any plans for going out there and doing any training sessions with the kids?
You know, we actually do. Right now is a perfect time, just because I have a bunch of downtime with from racing at the second. But what we have going on is just to go out a couple of sessions a month and kind of hang out with the kids and talk to them and give any advice. And I mean, I have my own cousin there who has ADHD, and he's 14 years old. And so it's I'm very stoked at the program. And I was there probably 3 weeks ago, and there was about 20-some-odd kids just out there riding bikes in circles. And so I was just stoked on that. And so how did it look the other night?
It looked really good. I went there for Wednesday, the open training. I did a broadcast of bike talks from there just to kind of show people what the velodrome was like. But the president, I believe his name is Will?
Yes.
Yeah, Will was there, so I got to speak with him, and he was telling me about the bikes, you know, the specialized bikes you had donated, and that he was letting me know the kids were out there riding, because we were talking about what it takes to get, you know, just familiar with the velodrome and the different types of racing that is out there. So to be starting with kids at such a young age is a good thing.
Yeah, it's I'm very honored to be able to help these kids and help, especially with your foundation and all the fun stuff that we've got going on. So just truly
it's
stoked.
Really awesome. I have an associate of mine. He has a bike shop, Athena Cycles in Sherman Oaks, and he has a kid that has got ADHD, but he's already riding a bike. He's
yep.
only like 7 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And right now he just rides and just loves to ride. I've ridden personally 20 plus miles with this kid when he was 5.
Nice.
And it was amazing to me that as long as he was on his bike, he was driven. Like, he was just going.
Stoked.
My question
awesome.
To you is, at what age do you think it'd be a good time to introduce him to the velodrome versus just riding his bike?
How old did you say he was?
Right now, I believe he's 7.
7 years old. You know, I think one of the biggest troubles, especially with cycling, is, you know, kids are coming in at different weights and sizes, and it kind of really comes down to, if he's a 6'7", then I'm sure he'll be able to fit on a bike perfectly, but if he's kind of around 4 feet, then it becomes a little bit of a trouble. But as long as he can fit on a bike well, then, you know, I think any age right now is, the sooner the better, basically. So
you think it's more so about the size of the bike versus the age of the rider?
Exactly. You know, I it's never too early to start riding your bike. I mean, since the dawn of time, I mean, it's such an Americana concept of, dad's teaching me how to ride a bike today. And, you know, I don't think that, especially for such a safe environment such as the velodrome, any kid, any age should be able to ride. And I think when it comes to the sizes of the kids, if they can fit the bike, then by all means, I encourage it. There are some kids who I know, especially at the Encino Velodrome Youth Program, who are probably 10 or 12 years old, and these kids are tiny, tiny little dudes. But they get out there, and they rip it up, and they pedal as hard as they can, and they come at the end of the night, and they're as tired as the kids who are 5'10". So, you know, as long as the message gets across and the adrenaline is pumping, I don't see the problem.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll definitely pass that along to Howard. Howard is the owner of the shop, and I'll pass that along to him, because I know that his kid loves to ride, and
awesome.
As I told him about you and your foundation
awesome.
And everything, he was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. He was just concerned about, you know, the right bike for the track, and I think he was a little concerned about just bringing a kid to the velodrome and it being an environment where he potentially would get, you know, run over
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah, I think, and somebody had contacted the foundation actually a week ago, whose child was having a lot of trouble with the clip-in pedals and stuff, and, you know, especially with as complicated of a sport as this is, I know you understand, all of this, especially for young kids, I would really just kind of go about introducing them nice and slow. So everything, so if a kid has problems with straps or clip-in pedals, start with flat beds, then
right.
go to straps, then go to clip-ins. But, you know, Rome wasn't built overnight, and neither was where I came to be now, especially with trying to deal with my ADHD or even stay concentrated on cycling. So it takes a real effort and takes patience.
So even if
at this stage in your life, it's still a challenge for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just thinking the other day, trying to be able to sit down and concentrate on one thing at a time is something that I, to this day, have trouble with. But I have an intensive group of people there to support me. And at the same time, my overall mood is not that bouncing off the walls type of genre anymore. It's kind of more of a lax feel and Beach Boy-esque stoked.
Is that because of the cycling or just because you've gotten older?
I think it's a little mixture of everything. And, you know, when you take kids who are 10 years old or something and put them on medication to try and focus on school or whatever it is that they're having trouble with, everybody usually comes off the medication at some point, especially if they're starting out that young. So I think, just riding bikes.
Okay, that's interesting. If there's time, I'd like to ask another question on a different subject. Do you have another minute?
Oh, yeah.
I was recently reading about the French broadcast network no longer going to continue to broadcast the Tour de France starting in 2012.
Really?
Because of all the doping and, just finding out that all these top riders have been taking dope. So they're finding that the viewers aren't watching it because it's losing credibility, much like American boxing here in the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always some kind of a fix involved.
Yeah.
When we were talking on the show the other day, I was doing the research into the money that's involved in cycling and organized cycling, team cycling, and so forth. So I see the motivation for it, but in your experience, I was talking to Philip Elbaz the other day,
yep.
And he was explaining how, I was telling the people how I believe that you and Philip, just work really hard, and I wanted to get an idea or get some feedback from you about what's it like to compete against people who you at least suspect are taking human growth hormones,
mm-hmm.
and does it give them a clear advantage, or is it just they're coming in a half a second ahead of you, or they're coming in like 10 seconds ahead. Like,
yep.
What's the locker room level, impact of human growth hormones,
yep.
or just drugging in the cycling community from someone who is, neck deep in it like yourself, but also young?
Yeah.
What's it like?
You know, one story that kind of comes to mind with that is, first off, I take a pretty optimistic approach to when it comes to cheaters in sport. I'm choose to think, whether I'm right or wrong, that everybody's clean, and if somebody gets popped, then sucks for them, sucks for the sport, but it's time to move on, because I kind of live in that fast-paced moving forward way of thinking. And if we just sit down and dwell on the fact, then we're not going to really get anywhere. I have raced with convicted dopers and actual dopers at the time, and I remember when I was much younger, I was racing in Trinidad and Tobago, and there was a ex-world champion from Germany, and he came out, and he was probably in his late 40s, early 50s, and he was thrashing, and it was known throughout the race that, yeah, he was actually doing drugs. And I mean, this guy was spanking my ass left and right, and he was doing the same thing with everybody. And it put the hurt on me, and it put the hurt on everybody. And a lot of people at the time were a bit skewed on the thinking that it's wrong, and what's he even doing here, and he's not making this a fair race. But there are cheaters in every sport, and one thing that cycling does really well is finding cheaters. And I think that credibility-wise, we have probably one of the most intense and forward-thinking motions in trying to find cheaters within the sport. And, if you look that hard and as hard as we do, we are ultimately going to find the dirty ones. And,
right.
I go wake up every single day in this world that I've kind of created, especially with this, because of the sport of cycling. And not for one second do I think about the cheaters within the sport. I can only control my own actions and make my own moves. And, one of them involves staying clean. And that's commitment
to not only the cycling population, but to myself. So I try not to think about it as much as I can, because there's nothing that I personally can really do about it except for control what I have over control of, and that is myself and the relationships with my sponsors and make them as happy as possible. So
do people ever like offer you any?
No, I've never been offered any banned substances. And you know, some people have asked me, if somebody were to, would I rat them out? And you know, there comes that whole thing of like, oh, if you're in prison, you're the rat if you start telling everybody what else other people are doing and stuff like that. I kind of take the notion and, you know, let the enforcers do their duties and let the bike riders do their duties. And that's what I'm here to do. So
right.
I'm not here to try and change the sport of cycling ethics, but I'm here to just race my bike and help kids with ADHD and all the kind of endeavor stuff that I have going on, and that's really all I can ask for, and have as much fun as I can. I mean, I'm just 19 years old. I expect to be in the sport a good amount of time longer, so you can kind of drive yourself crazy with negative stuff like that if you keep on dwelling on it, I guess.
Yeah, it just caught me by surprise when I was doing the research to find out that some riders make upwards of $4 million a year, which I'm sure comes a lot from endorsements as well as prize money. But I had no idea that there was that much doping going on. Not only that, but the fact that that even when folks get busted, they're still allowed to race until they're found guilty. And I thought that was amazing too. Like, instead of being, you know, suspended during the investigation, the riders are still allowed to race.
Yeah.
So
you know, it's right now is. Everybody can tell in the cycling community right now and what is going on, everything from race radios to doping policies and stuff like that. It's kind of everything is turned upside down right now and what is going on politically. So I'm sure within the next year, we're going to see some crazy radical changes in the way that our business is done on and off the bike. And, you know, right now, all I can do as an athlete is kind of sit back and watch the story unfold. So, yeah.
That's true.
Yep. But,
well, thanks, man. That
no
was all
worries.
Good.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Good luck with the rest of the show. I'll let you guys get back to your topic at hand. But thanks for the information and thanks for everything, Kit.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. Take it easy.
All right. Well said, Kit. Well said about the doping and everything. Yeah, I agree. You're gonna find it anywhere and everywhere, and we have one of the strictest control areas of all. So let's go to a little break here right now.
The risk.
Hey, Brad, nice to see you.
Hey, Jen.
Wow, this looks like a new little system on the back of your truck. What's up with this rack here?
Yes, it is. That is the Rackster Duopod. Holds two bikes.
That's fantastic. And what's so special about this rack that's different from others?
Ah, well, it's nice and low, so you don't have to lift it up real high. You're still using one of those roof racks?
I am. And let me tell you, I get so tired of putting my bikes on top of my car, and I've heard nightmare stories about my friends running into their garage and blowing up their forks and stuff because they forget that their bike's on top of their car.
Yes, that'll never happen with a Rackster rack.
Now, I'm kind of a low-budget bike racer. What's the price range for these things?
Ah, this is the Duopod. It's only $269.99. How about that?
That's good. Now, sometimes I need more than just two bikes. I sometimes travel with some in my car. Do they have something more than just the Duopod?
No problem. The Rackster Thorax holds three bikes, same concept as the Rackster Duopod, and it's only $449.
Wow, I got to tell you, I really like this. Where can I get one?
Well, you'll also like it because of its lightweight. The rack itself is light because it's got composite materials in the swing arms, and you can get them in Southern California at dealers in Poway, Irvine, Costa Mesa.
Great. I live in Northern California. Is there a complete list of dealers that I can find where the Rackster is?
Yes, there is. You can find more dealers at RacksterRacks.com. That's RaxTer, Racks, RACKS.com.
Wow, Brad. Thanks so much. I can't wait to get one. Nice rack.
Thanks, Jen.
Okay.
Nice rack.
Yeah, that was a little promo on Rackster Racks. Rackster Racks, one of our supporters. at the Master Cycle League. And right now I got Patty on the line here for Kit, and she's a nurse. Wanted to ask you a few questions, Kit.
Patty, how are you? I'm doing very well, thank you.
I understand that you have a great program that you're working with ADHD children in cycling.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
As a psych nurse and working with children and teens, do you find that it helps to boost their confidence, especially after receiving such a overwhelming diagnosis from a physician?
Yeah, you know, I've talked to a lot of kids and families about this, and people who have either gone into activities or find something that they really enjoy, and those that I know with cycling specifically, you know, bicycle racing and bicycles in general are such a, it's such a 100% youth sport, and you're surrounded by people constantly, and it takes 100% focus of your attention, and it's genuinely just all around good fun and stuff. So kind of at the end of the day, what I'm finding is a lot of these kids are just starting to enjoy themselves a lot more than what they were before they were even diagnosed, which might entail just kind of little to no activity, I guess.
Right. Plus, it gets them motivated and out, and helps to calm all those, like the endorphins serotonins, and helps them relax and get more focused. And when it's really structured, I see that programs really, really work.
Yeah.
And it's great that you're doing this.
Thank you so much.
How long have you been doing it?
The foundation was actually launched, what was it, in February. Yeah,
yeah, just this year.
Yeah, it was just a month ago, actually.
Just, yeah, a few days.
And right now, I mean, I've never learned more about ADHD than in the past 6 months out of my entire life, even when I was first diagnosed. So, you know, the good thing about this is we're not trying to take any controversial or insane stance on it. It's really just, at the end of the day, we're out here just riding our bikes and having fun, and, you know, kids are enjoying themselves, which is kind of what we're going for, and help fill any insecurities that they're feeling after being diagnosed. And, you know, we're all just having a good time now.
That's awesome. That's
Thank
really,
you.
That's really great. I wish there was some programs like that up here in Northern California.
All
maybe,
right.
maybe you can branch up here too.
Yeah, right now we're starting
franchise plans.
Yeah, we you know, the big thing right now is to underpromise and overdeliver. And I think within the past month we've launched a success stories program with a bunch of professional riders, and we just donated 10 brand new bicycles to the Encino Velodrome Youth Program. So we're coming in hot, and we're hopefully going to stay hot over the next coming years.
Well, it's very nice having people like you.
Thank you so much.
And it was a pleasure talking with you.
Likewise.
And, I always enjoyed working with the little ones and the teens and stuff like that in education, and it's good. So,
I'm sure we'll keep up the good work.
People out there like you.
Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so We've got energy bars coming out. Yeah, Phil Coogan. What's it like working with Phil Coogan, by the way? That's a question from Alexi from Philadelphia.
Phil Coogan, who is also acting as the host of The Amazing Race and the title sponsor of my team, he and we started becoming friends once he got involved with my cycling team, I guess. But, you know, he's a guy who has seen it all, done it all, and to be able to go and have that in my corner of having questions or need advice on something, he plays such an instrumental part in my program, and he and his entire family are great friends, and you know, I'm very honored to have him on the contact list.
Very nice. That will go far. You will go far with that, no doubt. No doubt. So, we got a few minutes. A couple more questions. Do you work? Where do you work? You work for Oakley, apparently.
Yeah, I...
Jake from Tulsa, Oklahoma says, what's it like working for Oakley?
I started working for them around last year, around April, I guess, and I was working with Steve Blick as a digital media producer, and so I worked with the sports marketing department, and we cranked out a bunch of viral videos and worked on special projects like the Tour de France. We had this awesome site called BehindTheTour.com, and we had cameras all throughout France during the tour and interviewed guys like Cav and Lance and Fabian and you know, asking them Spitfire questions and got kind of like a behind-the-scenes look of these riders day-to-day. So it's been such a great privilege to be able to work with them. And, you know, they started sponsoring me about 4 years ago. And to be able to have kind of on both sides of the fence of an athlete and, I guess, a work bee in that world is it's really awesome. And, you know, it's such a really cool company at the same time. So I'm having a blast.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like fun. Wish I could do something like that.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm in the radio studio here in Los Angeles on Kill Radio. Our phone number is 213-252-0998. And in case you just joined us, we're talking with Kit Carson, founder of the Kit Carson Foundation, and going over a few questions and answers. We got Renee from Trinidad and Tobago saying, hi, Kit. I'm a big fan of yours from Trinidad. And when will you be coming back to the Caribbean?
I hope to be coming back this year, I guess. I think it would normally be around April for the races that I normally do there, but it kind of comes down to the schedule, and Trinidad kind of always pops around as a last-minute thing, but it's always probably one of the more fun things that I get to do during the year, so we'll just see come April. But I hope to be there. A lot of fun friends over there.
Next month.
Yep.
That's like next month almost.
Isn't it crazy? It's April already? Or it's March.
It's March. Not April. Don't rush it, kid.
Oh, God. I'm that fast forward.
Yeah, well, you're 19. The older you get, the faster time goes. That's the theory of time dilation, I think. The older you get, the faster time goes. So just... Yeah, so speaking of time, Tom from Manchester, England says, do you have any spare time ever? And if you do, what do you do?
You know, I do try and find some spare time at least once a week or at least one day a week to kind of just not revolve my world in cycling and in business and stuff like that. So I kind of, you know, I'm a 19-year-old kid. I pretty much just do what 19-year-old kids do and go to the movies and hang out at the mall and do stupid stuff and, you know, chase girls and this. Yeah.
You see Tron?
I did see Tron. Yeah. Oakley 3D glasses as well. Definitely loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And wrapping it up, I guess the Kit Carson Foundation, what's the website and for details on that?
You can go to kitcarsonfoundation.org.
Those are with K's.
Yep.
KITKRZEN.
Yep, foundation.org.
Foundation.org.
You can find everything, how to donate, and our medical professionals, and our success stories, and ways to get involved in our active outlet programs. And, you know, we're here waiting for you, so come on down. Come on down.
Come on down now. All right. Anything you want to add and wrapping it up?
Or? No, I'm having a blast here in L.A. with this beautiful view of the mountains in the background with snow.
That's right. It does snow in L.A. Yeah, but it's sunny, and it's about 62 degrees out here. So nanner, 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 those of you suffering in the south with a horrible storm. So, thanks for coming in, Kit.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio Live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
Okay, so in wrapping it up here at Bike Sport Radio, we always talk about a advocate issue and what's going on in the bike world and things that are important to cyclists. And something very important right now that's going on, the LA bike plan, which has been vetted and gone over and over again for almost 2 years now, maybe. It's heading to the city council on March 1st. That is tomorrow, actually. So go down to city council chambers and speak your mind about the LA bike plan. That's the upcoming bike plan that's been worked over, and it's a pretty good plan right now. There are some threats to the mountain biking portions of it, though. So if you're a mountain biker, you may want to show up there. The mountain bicyclists have shown up in good faith throughout the entire planning process, but there is some threats to the mountain bike portion being stripped out. There are some concerns about bicycling in parks. Now imagine that. Now, why would they not want you to ride your bike in a park? But in any event, check it out. City Council meeting tomorrow, March 1st, LA Bike Plan. And Bike Sport Radio comes to a close now. We thank everybody for listening now to Bike Sport Radio. And we appreciate you. And we'll hear you next time. Or you'll hear us next time on Bike Sport Radio. Thanks for listening.